Did you grab a newspaper from your front porch this morning? Or did you glance through the paper on your tablet, laptop, or computer? Or did you just bypass the paper altogether and seek an online presence like Politico for your news? Newspaper publishers and editors are asking these questions every day, and the outlook for news agencies continues to change. In recent weeks, the Washington Post and Boston Globe have sold, and closer to home, the Arkansas Times has instituted a modified paywall.
Roby Brock from our content partner Talk Business Arkansas recently discussed the shifts in media ownership and delivery with Blake Rutherford, vice president for McLarty Companies and the former director of public communications for Stone Ward Advertising Agency in Little Rock. His job has been to follow media trends for years. Roby asked him about the turbulent times in media delivery.
The Washington Post, the Boston Globe, two very high-profile newspapers, sell one to a local owner, one to the founder of Amazon.com.
Right.
Was this a matter of survival for these entities? I mean, what's your take?
I think it had to be. If you look at it from a revenue standpoint, then it certainly was. What made the Globe transaction so unique was the price. Obviously, the New York Times had bought it very high and then was forced to sell it very low. Which is the inverse relationship of how you want to do business.
Buy low, sell high. Yes,
right.
That was, they
and,
talked to that.
And so, you know, that drove headlines because a venerable paper like The Globe going for so little. The Post is an iconic newspaper, and so it had been a family newspaper for generations and had been also the local newspaper of our nation's capital. And it sells to Jeff Bezos, the CEO of Amazon.com, who has no history in newspaper publishing, has no background as a newspaper reporter. And Amazon's business is very different than that of the Washington Post. But he's an innovator, and he's an innovator in the way that consumers behave. And with the Kindle and books and the things that Amazon's doing with its secondary businesses, he understands how to deliver content, which is critical in today's marketplace. And innovation online is transforming the news business all the way around. We're certainly seeing that here in Arkansas.
So do you see him just dabbling in some experimentation? Do you think he comes up with a game plan and says this is what we're going to execute? How do you think he might approach that?
Well, it'll be very interesting. He's certainly keeping the leadership of the Post intact, so he's not bringing in a new leadership team. And he's indicated, at least publicly, that while he might tinker, we shouldn't expect wholesale change at the Washington Post. If it is about traditional news delivery, which is to say we're happy to run a deficit, probably not much change. But if he's interested in improving revenue and driving sales, then I think you have to make changes. What those are, though, I don't know, because a new competitor has really emerged in that marketplace, which is Politico.
Yeah.
And Politico has incredibly deep pockets, as we know, with the Albritton family and what they're able to do there. And then the new investment they're going to make after selling.
Let's talk a little bit about that. Yeah. Because they've sold Channel 7,
right.
Was one of their stations. They had 10, I think, in their, or maybe 8 in their whole group there.
Right.
So now there's $1 billion of cash almost.
That's
to
right.
Invest in Politico, mm-hmm. an online primarily news source.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think what do you invest in with $1 billion into an online media source?
I think you invest in technology and infrastructure. You need to ensure that your content can get out and continue to reach audiences in a variety of different ways, thinking primarily about mobile, but certainly the iPad and other devices that people are using. So I think you start with infrastructure, and then, as with all companies, you build around talent. And at newspapers that are having to lay off people, particularly people who happen to make a lot more money because they've been there longer, there's an opportunity certainly to poach talent. Politico's been on the other side of that, though. My good friend Jonathan Martin,
right.
Who is no stranger to Arkansas, just left to be the national political correspondent for the New York Times. So there's some of that in the media industry, but Politico's going to be able to pay for talent. And then I think, again, you continue to invest in resources, which is anything from support staff to office space to whether they decide to branch out into other bureaus, and then being able, of course, to put people on the road, especially during election season, which is not inexpensive.
Politico is a free online news source. Here in Arkansas, we have seen the iconic Arkansas Times go partially behind a paywall their opinion content, not necessarily their news content.
Right.
That deal struck you as a big surprise.
It was a big surprise. I think in my op-ed, I said it was a bit of a shock. And I think primarily because, and you're right, Arkansas Times is an iconic publication, but it was always an iconic free publication. You could find it on corners of downtown Little Rock, and you could then, of course, find it online. And when they pioneered the Arkansas blog, it really transformed, I think, the way that political news was captured and delivered in Arkansas, which was a significant achievement for Arkansas Times, and they built out from there. They've got a wonderful food blog. I wrote a movie blog for them many, many years ago. And they've continued to draw attention because of what their team can do through the Arkansas blog. But they've pulled that back now, and you now have to pay to access that content. It's an interesting move. I sense that it's one certainly that will help their bottom line, which clearly now is a need. But it's a dramatic shift for Arkansas Times.
What's the risk for them? Obviously losing readers.
Right. I mean, this is one of the unfortunate things, at least in my view, is that brand loyalty in the news business really doesn't exist. In my op-ed, I cite a study from a few years ago that when readers were asked about their media companies that were free, and if they decided to charge, would they pay? And 82% of them said no. That's just unfortunate, but it is the way of the world in consumer online behavior as it pertains to news content. If your source A for you all of a sudden charges you, most consumers think they can go find the same information from source B if it's free. And that's really been one of the big problems for newspapers online, because you have aggregator sites, Yahoo News, for example, where you can go read all of the Associated Press's content throughout the day. But on the other side of that, Roby, the New York Times, McClatchy, they've instituted different forms of subscription models, and they're starting to make money. So it's not to say that it won't work, but I think it's going to be a challenge for the Times.
Another thing that you mentioned in there is the Texas Tribune.
Right.
And the fact that it's a nonprofit news outlet there. Is that a business model for unbiased, nonpartisan news?
I think the Texas Tribune would tell you that it is, but it's expensive, and it gives readers the same avenue in terms of free content. People can invest in the publication, but they have to be careful about their opinion content. You can't do endorsements, for example. So it's working for the Tribune. There are examples of where it hasn't worked. I mean, that's really ultimately the lesson here, is there's a test and learn period. I just don't know how far along in the subscription model decision Arkansas Times is willing to go with that test and learn.
Roby Brock from Talk Business Arkansas talked with Blake Rutherford, Vice President of McLarty Companies, about shifts in media this week. You can hear more from the conversation at talkbusiness.net. Support for Talk Business Arkansas on Ozarks at Large is provided by Mitchell Williams Law, providing strategic counsel on a variety of sophisticated legal matters since 1954. Mitchell Williams Law Firm combines decades of diverse professional experience to clients across the U.S. Today, the firm employs nearly 80 attorneys from 4 offices in Arkansas, Texas, and New York. Online at MitchellWilliamsLaw.com.
And Bank of the Ozarks, committed to helping business owners succeed by combining the tools and services businesses need with accessible experience and knowledge. More information at BankOzarks.com. And the Electric Cooperatives of Arkansas. Diversity is the key to reliability and affordability. From the state's largest industrial user to a home at the end of a long country road, the Electric Cooperatives of Arkansas serve members with a stable supply of electricity backed up with fuel diversity. More at AECC.com.